This morning, we continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. It's a journey that we began last week with the Beatitudes, and it will take us all the way through to Ash Wednesday, a few weeks down the line. The Beatitudes, which take up about three chapters of Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is basically, well, it's a manifesto. It's a manifesto to the followers of Jesus to teach them about what it means to be his disciple. What does it mean to give your life over to Jesus? And in a very concise and orderly way, the Sermon on the Mount lays that all out. And all throughout this Sermon on the Mount that we will be going through, the one thing that Jesus makes absolutely clear is that God's people are called to be different than the people of the world. He makes this contrast over and over and over again. He will say, all right, this is what the world is like, but this is what you are to be like. This is the world, and this is you. And as we heard last week, Jesus began this Sermon on the Mount, as I said, with the Beatitudes, which describe the kinds of people that we are called to be. And I don't think Jesus could have made it any more countercultural. I'm going to quickly reread that list, and I want you to just listen. From the point of view of the world, this list doesn't make any sense. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who wants to be poor in spirit? Blessed are those who mourn. Who wants to mourn? Blessed are the meek. Who wants to be called meek? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Anybody want to sign up for that? Persecution? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And while we're scratching our heads and trying to figure out how we are supposed to be peacemakers and meek and merciful and pure in heart, all while living in a dog-eat-dog, lying, cheating world, Jesus goes on to explain that he gives us a responsibility to influence the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Part one, the Beatitudes, who you are called to be. Part two, your responsibility to influence the world. I have a lot of happy memories of time spent with my grandmother just up the road in Chesterfield. Every Sunday, we would attend preaching at Chesterfield Baptist Church, and afterward, we would head back to the house for a great big Sunday dinner. But on Sunday nights, supper was always simple. In fact, it was always the same thing. You could always count on Campbell's cream of tomato soup and a slice of cheese toast with American cheese. You just hope that it didn't get burnt, because sometimes it did, but that was supper on Sunday night. And I can still remember my grandmother sitting there at the head of the table. My grandfather died before my parents were married. And I can remember my grandmother just there pouring the salt into the Campbell's soup and saying, almost too quietly to hear, but loud enough for me to hear, my doctor tells me I should cut back on this, but she's just pouring the salt in. My grandmother loves salt, and so do I. But I will tell you, it wasn't easy being a salt lover back in the 80s. Because if you will recall, the 80s, that was the time of the low-salt craze. You could get low-salt popcorn. You could get low-salt soup. I think you could even get low-salt salt. It was not an easy time to be a salt lover. But to my great joy, in the 90s, in the next decade, I was vindicated by my favorite physician, Dad, who explained to me that for most people on the planet, there ain't no such thing as too much salt. And so ever since that time, I have salted my food liberally, being a salt lover. Now, I don't think it's flavor that Jesus has most in mind here. Now, of course, it is true that we are to bring a certain flavor to the world as his followers. But I suspect that it is far more likely that as Jesus was speaking to his disciples and explaining to them the kind of influence that they were to have, Jesus had something else in mind. He had in mind instead his own memories of childhood, when his mother Mary would have taken whatever meat they had. It probably wouldn't have been much, they were poor, but she would have taken that meat and she would have covered it in salt. Not for the flavor, but to preserve it. Because you see, salt, of course, prevents decay. Salt keeps out infection. Salt stops the meat from rotting. And I'm told that if you do it just right, if you salt the meat correctly, that salted meat will last indefinitely, maybe almost forever, maybe even longer than a Twinkie, that meat will last if it's salted correctly. Because you see, salt's able to keep meat from doing what meat normally does. It rots, it decays, it stinks. You are to be salt in the world. Because you see, human society, which of course is just made up of a bunch of human beings made of flesh and blood, human society left on its own, it decays, it rots, it stinks. But Jesus sends you out to be salt. You, as God's people, are to be the salt that is rubbed into society to stop the decay, to keep out the disease. About 5 years ago, I had one of those experiences where you are confronted with some truth about the world and it changes you. Makes you grow up a little bit. I was reading some news site on the web. I can't remember what site it was, but this pointed me to another website, as often happens on the web. And this other website was devoted to documenting the urban decay of Detroit in vivid photographs. Now, growing up in the South, I am no stranger to old tobacco barns falling apart on the side of the road, but somehow that doesn't seem to bother me all that much. But there was something about those photographs there on that website. Photographs of what were once these exquisite, magnificent, elegant homes. The pinnacle of architectural design. Row after row after row of these beautiful houses totally abandoned and falling to ruin. Photographs of entire office buildings that at one time housed doctors' offices and stockbrokers and insurance agents completely abandoned and left to vandals. Photographs of this grand Art Deco theater that in its heyday, just a few decades prior, would have been home to operas and symphonies and concerts that I probably couldn't afford the tickets to go see. But now, the roof was caving in. The seats were all being destroyed. The grand piano had been turned up on its side by vandals. Photographs of an abandoned school office where students' private school records were strewn all over the office, filing cabinets pulled out, snow pouring in from the broken window. Photograph after photograph after photograph depicted what once seemed so permanent and magnificent and powerful. These great and beautiful buildings had now become signs of a nightmare. This wasn't some movie. This wasn't from the imagination of some director or author. This was a real city here in America. And although I can't quite explain it, something about those photographs, it did something to my soul. Those photographs rubbed my face into the reality that left on its own, human society decays. It rots. It's just like a piece of meat. Without some salt to preserve it, purify it, and cleanse it, that's what happens to human society. Perhaps some of you are familiar with the account of Kitty Genovese. Kitty was a 28-year-old woman who was stabbed to death on March 13, 1964. Nearly 40 persons in New York City, there where she was murdered, nearly 40 persons heard her cry for help and not one of them, not one of them went to her aid. Not one of those persons could even be bothered so much as to pick up the phone and call the police. And we say, how could that happen? How could human beings do that to each other? Or in more recent times, we have heard of reports coming out of India of a woman being attacked on a public bus by a gang of men. And we say, how could this happen? It happens, beloved, because just like meat, human society, it rots, it decays, and it stinks. But it doesn't have to be that way. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But in reality, oftentimes when good society goes bad, we Christians are guilty of just throwing up our hands and shaking our heads and rolling our eyes and saying, well, there goes society. Shame, shame. But beloved, one can hardly blame meat for doing what meat does. Meat rots. It goes bad. No, when society goes bad, the question to ask is not how could this happen? The question to ask is where's the salt? Society is going to do what society does. It's going to slide into decay unless God's people take up the responsibility of influence given to them by their Lord. You are the salt of the earth. You are the peacemakers. You are the meek. You are the pure of heart. You are the ones who are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now we can look out into this great big world and say, what can we possibly do? And if we're being truly honest, I think some of us would say, there's nothing we can do. We can't influence society. Well, let me tell you, the Son of God does not share our skepticism. The Son of God tells us that we have a responsibility to influence the world around us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. But then Jesus adds a little caveat. He says, if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. Now, of course, as you all learned in chemistry, salt can't lose its flavor. But I am told that in Jesus' time, one of the methods for getting salt was to collect this mixture of substances near the ocean, and you would take it and put it in a kind of sieve, and you would run water over it, and that would extract the salt. And what would be left behind is a substance that looked like salt. Probably in Jesus' time, it may have even been called salt. But it didn't taste like anything. It didn't have the power to cure meat. It was just common rubble, good for nothing but to be thrown out into the road. Beloved, if you're going to be salt in this world, you have to be different. You can't be like the world. When we are no different than the world, well, we're like salt that's lost its taste. Now, we are called to be different. We're called to be salty in all sorts of ways. But one difference serves as a kind of, cornerstone for all the many ways that we as God's people are called to be different. Let me ask you, what does the world do on Sunday morning? What does the world do? The world sleeps in. The world reads the newspaper. The world watches television. The world catches up on work. The world plays golf. What about God's people? How are God's people distinct from the world on the Sabbath? What makes us salty? Well, the answer is quite simple, of course. God's people do what the Son of God did on the Sabbath. Now, we're told that Jesus did all sorts of things on the Sabbath that got him into trouble, but there is one thing that Jesus always did on the Sabbath. He gathered with God's people, he worshiped the Lord, and he renewed the saltiness of those around him. Because you see, it's here each and every week, each and every Sabbath, as we gather together, that our saltness gets resalted. Where do we get the courage to be peacemakers in a world of hatred? Where do we get the appetite to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Where do we learn to be merciful in a world that only respects power? Where do we get salty? Beloved, we get salty the same way that our Lord Jesus Christ did. Here in the presence of God, here in the presence of his people, set apart each and every Sabbath, each and every Lord's Day. If we are no different than the world, then we're no good to the world. And beloved, this world desperately needs us to be different. This world needs us here each and every Sabbath so that we can be resalted. Michael Moronis is an 11-year-old boy who lives in North Carolina. Because Michael, according to other kids, plays with the wrong kind of toys, he has been the subject of intense bullying at school. Just last month, Michael tried to take his own life, and it's not clear that Michael will live. Where was the salt that Michael needed? Where was the salt that would be ground into the actions of those bullies to say no? Where is the salt? Beloved, this world is sick. It is rotting. It is in a constant state of decay. It needs salt. It needs people who are different, who do not do as the world does. The world needs a people who are set apart, who will stand up for what is good and right and true. A people who will grind the salt of the gospel into the flesh of society, even though at first society will not like it. Beloved, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And this world desperately needs you to be different. Please, for the sake of this world that our Heavenly Father loves, that His only Son gave His life for on the cross, please, for the sake of this world, be the people you are called to be. A people who are set apart, a people who are different, a people who are salty. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fall afresh on your people. Make us salty. Make us different. Give us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, the courage to be the salt in this world that is rotting away. To be the meek, to be the merciful, to be the peacemakers, to stand up for what is right. Lord, make us the salt of the world. For we ask this in Jesus' name.